expressive safe space, and to share it in their own creative terms. This five-day music camp culminates in a closing concert by the Immigrant and Refugee Youth Campers, featuring their bands and performances created during the week. Again, that's Pass the Mic on Friday, July 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Franklin High School, 5405 Southeast Woodward Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We are here with Antonio Zamora, icebreaker with the Temporary Autonomous Zone, the TAZ, calling for the abolition of ICE. ICE stands for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Of course, here on Prison Pipeline, we talk about the prison industrial complex, abolishing ICE, you know, as it's all related. And we're going to flesh all of that out here. And again, we're with Antonio Zamora. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Portland and everywhere who is listening. I'm doing well. Just got off work from the farm earlier. I work on a farm. I'm a farmer. On a farming learning to program, learning how to be a farmer right now. I work 50 hours a week, and I am excited to be on the air. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. Can you tell us about yourself, how you got involved with things? How did the ICE encampment start in Portland, Oregon? Give us some background on that, please.
Well, I didn't get involved in activism until, like, really in the like in a community sense of activism since at 26 years old. And I got into activism pretty in a profound way out of street life. And I realized learning my rights more, investing my time in that, made me feel more connected to the world and how I can use my voice to make the difference in the way that I can. And so since June 17th, we have activated a mass vigil gathering every night. Right now it's holding every night, 7:30 nightly behind the ICE building, in front of the Tesla service building. And this temporarily autonomous zone is calling for the abolition of ICE since June 17th of July. And we have grown in enormous mass. Whether or not people attend the vigils, the nightly mass vigils, we have people coming and going all day. We probably have fed 5,000 people there.
Right. Wow.
5,000 people. We have given medical services from the medical tents. Those who can who have those skills have offered a lot of medical support to the movement, and that's amazing. Anybody can come and get medical support. We have a kitchen, a very beautiful kitchen. People come and go, dropping food off and serving food. We serve probably three meals a day around the clock. We have an art tent. We have a kids camp, a family camp. We have a lot of activities happening throughout the day. So many I can't even say on this mic right now. And so we actually actively vigilly blockade, if I may say, with did it with a vigil. Actually, everything that this has started out from was a vigil. First, it was a call to rally at the center, and then everyone left, and I got on this device I call the Sweet Sound Boom after a march, and I asked, hey, you know, in Occupy Portland, Occupy Wall Street, OPDX, we had a vigil at City Hall, and I was like, well, why can't we just do this here?
Yeah,
and we did it. And we're still doing it. 9 days, no enter and no exit of that building. That's a huge mm-hmm. success on its own. Mm-hmm. And many people like Chicano Park, more recently Philly, Louisville, Kentucky, Detroit, New York City, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, Tacoma, always Tacoma, because Tacoma has the largest ICE building in throughout the whole nation.
Right,
because
that's in out here in the Pacific Northwest, that is our regional detention center, right?
Exactly.
Is Tacoma.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Everything you said. And then also Seattle just started to do individual. We're corresponding with individuals in San Francisco that want to do a vigil as well. Mm-hmm. Many people have said that the vigils and the mass vigils are the heartbeat of the movement. Mm-hmm. Without this, we would not be here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very powerful experience to give vigils, have people discuss, pray, remind ourselves of what we value, of what this country is supposed to be, mm-hmm. Community, family, and liberty for everyone who wants to be part of this place. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is its own monster. It basically comes around the time in the, you know, recent part of the, you know, 21st century.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of post 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see ICE raising. Of course, the U.S. has always had a very ugly immigration system, but it's really gotten more and more institutionalized and connected to other agencies, which mm-hmm. in the case of, you know, post 9/11 stuff, you know, Homeland Security, you know, it became kind of part of the, you know, kind of like another little, you know, piece of the puzzle, I guess, for our larger state, you
just
know,
more
apparatus, right?
No, just more transpiring to hurt people of color everywhere.
Totally. Yeah. So can you say more about that, this monster that is ICE? What does breaking ICE mean? What is the platform, in a sense, for what is coming out of this larger kind of Occupy ICE and or abolish ICE movement?
Well, it's really complicated because we have various different political ideologies and people want to approach it differently. Mm-hmm. We are making basic communication throughout different communities coming to join us at GAs. Now, I can't say what has happened that has been perfect, but, you know, we're on the 10-yard line on the football field, mm-hmm. if I may say. We're not even at halftime to call for the abolition of ICE, and we got ourselves on the 10-yard line. So everyone who's hearing this, give it up. And thank you, the doubters who said we couldn't do it. We're still doing it.
Yeah, and right?
So
the haters.
The haters, even the violent haters.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's going to take a bit of a time. I don't speak for the movement, by the way, and I certainly don't speak for people locked up inside, but I'm just using my voice and my experience since June 17th being involved. But from my observation, I think it's going to take a few more months to have a unison, united message to mm-hmm. abolish ICE.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has an autonomous movement, per se, if I'm saying this right. Everyone's working on a cellular level while mm-hmm. we're geographically not connected because of distance. So this may take a little more time than people actually may realize,
mm-hmm.
but we are corresponding with each other in various ways, and we're just making this smoothly as possible. Here at the Abolish ICE PDX, Temporarily Autonomous Zone, we are doing our best every day to find a good way that is a balance of strategies and people's approaches that is going to resonate as one community movement here in Portland. And that's going to take mm-hmm. another probably a few months. And anybody's listening, I really highly encourage everyone who is participating in this movement to do spokes councils now than later.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was one of our failures in Occupy Portland, Occupy Wall Street. We implemented spokes councils. I'm probably more speaking to Portland, my experience, but we activated a spokes council after our temporarily autonomous zone was dissolved by mm-hmm. by the Fort Portland police.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hearing this, definitely step up, do a spokes council, call all your team members and get them to initiate a spokes council right now so we can do the logistical work across the nation and also the logistical work locally at your home place.
Mm-hmm. And some of the major threads for our listeners, if they want to learn about it, get involved, it sounds like a lot of this is existing, at least, you know, out in the internets, on social mm-hmm. media or what have mm-hmm. you, under some of these labels like hashtag Abolish ICE.
Abolish ICE, hashtag. Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. Hashtag abolish ICE.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Then from there, people can also look that up for...
to obtain more information.
Yeah, for the Portland, Oregon group.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it becoming a... Is there a national kind of framework at this point? It sounds like that's kind of developing.
It is developing. It's been really amazing because we didn't have any anticipation for any of this. We just had a lot of hopes and keep coming in, and it is actually a borning. It's becoming born out of that that whole mass of concentration to abolish ICE.
So Antonio, I know you say you don't speak for everybody or
the whole encampment
and everything, but if it's in combination of what you think about it and or the kind of things that you're all talking about that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. What is the bigger picture of this look like when we talk about, abolishing ICE, right? I mean, what's aside from the just movement building piece? I mean, what is the vision for that? What would the United States look like, if we didn't have this nasty, monstrous system?
Right on. That's a great topic to discuss on, to have a discussion around. And I hope what I contribute is only part of the dialogue because I don't speak for everyone.
Sure.
But what I can recognize with my observation is simply that we in sanctuary cities, mm-hmm. I believe New York is a sanctuary status city.
Yeah.
Tacoma, mm-hmm. No, not Tacoma, but definitely Seattle. I think they're another one. And we are as well. All sanctuary cities listening now, we have the right to move forward past DHS to move past ICE and start constructing our own ways, a lower but also perhaps in coalition with the larger picture of this country, mm-hmm. locally, to do our own customs and enforcement with human resources that mm-hmm. supports refugees and asylum seekers. Neither of those people should be experiencing criminalization for being an asylum seeker or a refugee. So
right.
We as sanctuary cities should definitely organize logistics, figure it out, because we have a right to do that with our own states.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And, it's kind of been a slogan that's also been around for years. I mean, even before, some of this work, the no one is illegal
right.
type premise, So can you say more about that and the kind of essence of what that means for modern United States in the 21st century? I mean, we're based on people coming here from everywhere in the first place.
Right.
The last 500 years that it, became a, modern nation state, if mm-hmm. you will. And here we are where there's just more people from even different places. So it's kind of like,
right.
what's the big deal, right?
Well, I want to touch on it personally. My father is Mexican. Mm-hmm. I'm born Northern Mexican, Chicano. And so, yeah, ever since 1492, we've had people from España, mm-hmm. Spain, Italy, so many more places, and the very institutions that came across from the seas or the sea are the institutions telling people, you have no right to be here. You are brown, but you can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
You are black, you can't be here. These are the very same institutions that had conquests over this land, and we need to have a discussion around how conquest happened on this land in order to have a real discussion around abolishing ICE, if I may say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's another point that we need to touch on. Yeah,
right.
As we move forward in this movement.
Yeah. Can you talk about as far as participation for this? What is that looking like as far as, people, mm-hmm. resources, mm-hmm. organizations, whatever you want to kind of talk about, but just to give people kind of idea of, what does it look like on the ground if we were to kind of like step into this today,
well,
the last week or two?
Yeah, if you come with cameras, we respectfully ask if you don't point the cameras on people all the time, because mm-hmm. people are, they're there to focus on a purpose. They're not there to be on a camera. They're
right.
focused on an activity. They're building something. They're having a conversation with somebody. We're in our own spaces, so to say, when we're having a conversation like anyone. We don't want people pointing at cameras at us anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually focused on something. If you're going to show up with a camera, please don't point it at people. Have a conversation with people. Get to know people. If you are media, check in with the front desk, the info table. We always need people to connect with the front desk, help in the kitchen, wash dishes. If you got medical or first aid response experience and training, connect with a medical tent.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get involved at GAs, check out our Facebook page, Occupy ICE PDX.
Mm-hmm. Which is also how people can plug in to get involved in general.
In general, yeah.
In the Portland, Oregon area, or yeah. they want to kind yeah. of visit.
So if you walk toward the ice center, if you can imagine standing in front of the ice center without mm-hmm. being on the sidewalk, on the left of the building, there's the temporarily autonomous zone calling for the abolition of ICE. Mm-hmm. And we have barricades to protect ourselves because the DHS police have randomly walked in and started issues within our temporarily autonomous zone.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk more about that?
I can talk more about that.
What's that looking like? Because I also understand there's sort yeah. of been some, I mean, of course, there's always police harassment, period, but how that's
what
relating
like?
To
yeah.
arrests and just, you know, all those kind of things.
Well,
yeah.
I can't speak for the people who were arrested, but I can mm-hmm. speak from my observations. And I'm not a person who goes out there intentionally to agitate, and I'm not talking against anyone who does that as well. I just want to let the audience know who's speaking that. I don't go out there and just call F-bombs or be really crass with the police. In fact, I actually hosted the vigils and meditations and prayers every night mm-hmm. since this started. So I just want everyone to remember that I'm not out there for the opposite as we talk about this. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen out there is that DHS, their police out there, I have been involved in many mass mobilization and marches and stuff like that, and I've seen police done wrong in every parts of my life and seen them done wrong. But these officers, if you just go 1 foot in front of their yellow tape line, mm-hmm. 8 of them will run out and create a form mm-hmm. of a riot.
Wow.
That's what it looks like mm-hmm. out there. And they will have a gun. I've seen them actually point when their pestle, pepper rifle about 4 feet mm-hmm. away from somebody's face. Mm-hmm. Can you wow. imagine that, audience, having a DHS officer point a pepper rifle 4 feet away from your face, directly pointing it in eyesight range down the
Gosh.
Scope?
I mean, just a couple drops of that stuff is super potent.
Yeah, exactly. So
people have been blinded by it.
All you need to do is shoot it on the ground.
Right, right.
And you can deflect people going away if you feel yeah.
For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline broadcasting from the studios of KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. We're here with Antonio Zamora, icebreaker and co-organizer of the Temporary Autonomous Zone, the TAZ, calling for the abolition of ICE, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is an encampment that's been going on in Portland, Oregon for the last couple weeks, in, you know, late June, early
June 17th.
July, June 17th, 2018. And what
June
we're talking about,
yeah.
Sorry, and we're talking about, you know, what that activism is looking like. And another question I had about this, when we talk about kind of what it looks like on the ground, what does the participation look like?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of issue, this kind of movement work, activism, if you will, is difficult, particularly for undocumented people, because if they are to even get close to such a premises.
Totally.
Yeah, so can you kind of talk about that dynamic? Because obviously those are the people most affected. You know, they want to participate, but they sort of can't. And how what is that looking like on the ground right now, like the last couple of weeks? How is that panning out?
It's a good question. You know, I've been trying to mobilize the vigils outside of the temporarily autonomous zone calling mm-hmm. for the abolition of ICE. And that's a good soft way that anyone can come from anywhere, mm-hmm. from any community I have and others, not just me. I'm not speaking for the vigils as well. I don't speak for the vigils. I've just been supporting the idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people can come every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 o'clock, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we will be out there passing out flyers, having flyering teams to go out there to flyer the neighborhood, the Hollywood Max neighborhood. As you all know who are listening, you may or may not know, there was a terrible incident with a stabbing recently, and out of the result of that, there was a beautiful mural built mm-hmm. on the Hollywood Max stairs, and it's so amazing to be out there to remember what we're trying to stand up for, what we're trying to stand up to make a difference in the world. And that's one of the reasons we brought a Sunday mass vigil out there, and mm-hmm. kind of just a rally point for people to come out from the neighborhoods. Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that you're also referencing what happened last year?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so for people who whether they live in Portland, Oregon or not, but they're aware of the stabbings that happen. And of course, when that happened last year in Portland, Oregon, it totally related, right, to some people who were targeted that are
two young Muslim women,
right,
two black young women.
Right. And so the whole perception from, I mean, in this case, you know, a white supremacist, white American guy who is targeting them, and then some people spoke up. And so, again, this speaking to this whole, you know, discussion around indifference, right? Because, I mean, that's really what this immigration thing's about, right?
Yeah.
Is really like intolerance for other people from other places, even though we're supposed to have, we have everybody from everybody in the world. So it's like...
Yeah. One of the very characteristics of white supremacy in this country.
Right, right. And of course, all these things, you know, they're all part of this ball of wax, right? With the you know, prison industrial complex and all that. And of course, as we know, another thread, and we talked a little bit about the Tacoma, Washington, regional Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. So, and that's run by a private company.
Yeah.
There's several private companies that
are
doing all this stuff.
Is that Geo Group? I
believe
that's Geo Group.
That one is Geo. Then of course we got prisons and other detention centers that are run by Corrections Corporation of America. So, so it's this whole ball of wax, and I understand that people are actually looking into a Geo Group presence here in the Portland, Oregon area.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how people could, you know, maybe plug in or learn
more
about it?
Well, if you are aware, audience, of Geo Group, if you know where their location is in the metro area, Portland, Beaverton, Gresham, if you know their offices, contact Occupy ICE PDX as soon as you have that information to share, because we want to, we want to bring attention to that issue, as we are bringing attention to that now, because they're an association with ICE, and they're a business that's doing the contrary of a sanctuary status. We can't allow any businesses or any organizations to operate as usual, as business as usual, in a sanctuary status city.
Mm-hmm.
We must not focus only on ICE. We must focus on every part of ICE's allies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate, so that the Occupy ICE PDX, we're talking about a Facebook page?
A Facebook page,
right? So
exactly.
People can look that up on Facebook. Yeah. Is there other social media or websites on that? Or
that's the only ones I'm aware of. We have a comms team, and they're more aware of that stuff. But, if you come out and we have a comms desk, communications desk, you can come out to the Temporarily Autonomous Zone Calling for the Abolition of ICE and ask them, hey, I would like to know more how I can support what you're doing, what kind of information I can get. You can also ask the info desk. They're really friendly people that got some really close friends. They're totally chill and would be like, hey, have a seat with us. Would you like a chair? You know?
Yeah.
And so
they
get you plugged in.
Cool.
So just come out and ask for information on the ground. That's how it really begins.
Right.
Many people have asked me, what is going on right now? Well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Participate.
Yeah.
And figure it out.
Get
right?
it out.
Because there's not just one way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is like, if I can use the word, like kind of experimental, right? We're trying to figure this out. How do we, you know, challenge this monster, bring it down to its knees, right?
Many minds, one great idea.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, you know, it's not going to happen overnight.
It takes
a movement, takes the village, you know.
Yeah.
As
good
the
things take
goes.
Time, right?
Good things take time. As far as benchmarkers, okay, we're going to have it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Probably have it the next week. Could be a couple years.
But
what we know, though, is that we're getting the word out, right?
We're getting the word out right now.
Yeah, and people are getting involved, and they're doing things, and they're trying to shut these facilities down and all these kind of things. So as far as benchmarkers, I mean...
We're bringing attention to these facilities by actually being there.
Right. Exactly. Just, you're making the presence, you know.
Yeah.
What do you see as some other benchmarkers, you know, kind of like moving forward, let's say in a couple months or in a year? I mean, not just for Portland, Oregon, but really on the national front. I mean, are you thinking in long term like that? Or
I have been since June 17th, and it's really hard to see what's happening, because every day there's something new happening, and those are good things happening, because it always tells us a little more how much we didn't know before. So how much I don't know tells me how much we're actually going to do better at.
Okay.
So it is exciting. Everyone is beginning to see the bigger vision of this, because we all need to realize there are children locked up inside, separated and taken while their families were asleep or conscious. this is not good. This is actually eroding our values as people.
Right. So, I mean, like you said, since 1492,
yes,
families have been devastated
on the indigenous front,
mm-hmm. on the African front, and people are separated from their families. Families sometimes even, you know, in a sense, kind of destroyed, if you will. These are the same things that our prison industrial complex does. Same thing that the detention industrial complex is also doing, which is all the same thing, right? We talked about, you know, it was the same people running the show.
Right. And, I mean, immigration right now, as it is for a while, is a pipeline to jail.
Right. Right, and right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine the amount of money people are using who can otherwise mm-hmm. do so much better as a nation, as a country, as communities, as local cities. Mm-hmm. We could do so much better in more positive ways. Whether or not people like it, people are going to move all around the world.
Right. So in our last few minutes, on that note, I mean, yeah. it's one thing we abolish ICE, then we know families are just going to be safe, community safe, period. Right now, we don't have that safety net.
Mm-hmm.
What are people doing on the ground? And, you know, I don't mean just the encampment, but like to like protect people from getting picked up from ICE. Mm-hmm. What are those kind of tactics look like in that organizing on the ground?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know the answers to that right now, but we're always welcome to have a discussion at GAs about this. So if you want to come out to GAs, General Assemblies, get plugged in, suggest those kind of things, that's a place to get connected and talk about that there, you know. Otherwise, right now, how people can support families, we have a partnership with Pueblo Unido. They are supporting the fundraiser for what we're doing, and they're giving resources and financial support uh-huh. to movements and communities on the ground that are experiencing trauma, fear, and so much more from DHS and ICE right now.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, please?
I don't have the Facebook page a link, but you know, you totally go to Occupy ICE PDX Facebook page. You could find it there. Pueblo Unido is supporting what we're doing with a GoFundMe, and people can totally donate $5, $1, $10, whatever you can do to support the families out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's direct support going to
direct support.
These families who are are getting messed with.
Yeah, exactly. Even families who have come to the temporarily autonomous zone, the zone of action. They couldn't enter the building because ICE wasn't letting them. Mm-hmm. So we didn't give them the money. Pueblo Unido and others who mm-hmm. are working in that working group supported them, what they're doing, because you know they come from far away, far, far away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like Seaside or you know some other town like Salem. So mm-hmm. you know there's people who come here all the time, and you know so we support the families in that way. Mm-hmm. In many ways we can in that way.
So is the ICE facility has it been, kind of on lockdown at various points, so people can't really go in and visit and things like that? Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Yeah, I mean, the police, the DHS police are, like, just holding that space. Mm-hmm. There's no real threat to them. There's no actual real threat to them mm-hmm. physically at all. I mean, everyone has been decently appropriate in their actions, like peaceful, symbol. No one mm-hmm. has actually thrown anything at them. Uh-huh. They have made many lies about that. They are being recorded all the time, mm-hmm. live stream and so forth. Everyone can see what they're doing to us out there. And mm-hmm. So it is a complicated place to be at, but definitely if you have the privilege, you have the time. Like me, I work 50 hours a week. I don't have all the privileges in life, but if you do have privilege and time, maybe you can come out and support what we're doing out there.
Totally. As far as people who are also other people who are going and supporting it, what is the police harassment kind of look like? I mean, you talked about the pepper spray. Do we know a number of kind of like how many folks have been kind of like arrested for being around and being involved and stuff?
Yeah. Again, I don't speak for the people who are arrested. I try not to speak for anyone. I'm just speaking mm-hmm. from my voice. But I will say that there have probably been over 10 people who have been arrested or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't be there most of the time during the day because I work on a farm or I work as a dispatcher for workers
uh-huh.
to dispatch people to work sites. But, you know, every day there's something going on with the police totally escalating the situation out there.
Mm-hmm. And intimidating
people. And totally antagonizing people. Having sirens and lights flashing all day, flashing all day during the day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a little weird.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, it's a day. We don't, you know.
Yellow pervasive, right.
Yeah, red and blue all day. And just people are just protesting, chanting out there. But, you know, mm-hmm. there's no immediate threat. There's no threat at all to them. Yeah, we're just peacefully assembling with our First Amendment rights.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, yeah. long live the movement. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see how this goes in another couple weeks, in a couple months, and we'll you know, mm-hmm. keep talking about this again, and we'll follow up and see, like,
yeah.
kind of where yeah. things are at. And
I'll be in New York City at the end of this month. I'm going to go to Fearless Cities conference and speak out there.
Oh, okay.
Just connect with people and get them more involved. Connect with people who are in New York City. If you're out there listening, I'm coming right now pretty soon. And hasta la migra. Yeah. La Vista Migra. Yeah.
What's the name of the conference again?
Fearless Cities Conference.
Okay. What is that about?
It's about how to use municipal power to, you know, change your city, change your nation from ground up, basically.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mobilizing neighborhoods to do what's right, you know.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. And so, and again, some of the last points of contact here before we close, people mm-hmm. can go to Facebook.
Occupy ICE. Occupy ICE. PDX. Yeah.
Right. There's also a lot of, it looks like Abolish ICE slogans are coming up a lot too,
yeah,
and
just
hashtags.
Just keep doing the hashtags. Occupy that, Occupy ICE, Abolish ICE. You just keep looking for hashtags. You'll find the threads out there for more information, no doubt. Yeah.
All right, and bring these suckers down, right?
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Hasta la migra. Hasta la vista.
All right.
Migra. Yeah.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, coming from the studios of KBOO, and we're here with Antonio Zamora. Listen to this and previous Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Want to thank our guest, Antonio Zamora, Icebreaker, our excellent engineers in the booth. Thank you for tuning in to Free 'Em All.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Popcorn Machine, a funk, R&B, and soul night on Saturday,